Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. My name is Dirk. I'm your host here at this episode 12. We are in week 12 already of 2018. Thanks again for checking this out. We have a live recording for you from our Explore Lake Life Expo about lifestyle and road trips. You will hear from Seth Hartmeyer, who has a Instagram account called Highway Highlights, where he captures hidden gems and beautiful spots around the state of Minnesota. You will hear from him, and then also Jess, who speaks about her yoga on paddleboard operation that she runs. Very interesting. And then we have Jeremy from Hydroflight Minnesota speaking about a very up and coming and nice sport. You'll hear all about this in our podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please feedback us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com with any ideas for upcoming programs, and check out our website for daily updates on events and news and destinations. Lakelifeweekend.com is growing, and we appreciate you using it. Let us know what you think. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Jack Chivers Realty out of Detroit Lakes. They love lake life and they know a place for you. So if you are looking to relocate or enjoy lake life this season, go to jackchiversrealty.com and use their map search for convenient lookups of properties on the lake, in the country, or in any community in Lakes Country. So thank you for this. I don't want to keep this any longer from our live program on stage during the expo in Fargo this past February. Have fun and have a wonderful weekend ahead. Thank you. Well, good morning, and thank you for coming to our Explore Lake Life Expo here at the Civic Center. We have a little program prepared, as we started with it yesterday, that's new to our on-floor expo with lake life people coming from Lakes Country to Fargo. And today I have invited Jess. I forgot your last name. Ah, yeah, Stewie. I apologize. Jess Stewie, and she has a yoga paddleboard business in Lakes Country. I also have with me Seth Hartmeyer, from the same area, in fact. You live on Boot Lake, and you live on Weimar Lake. Yeah. And Seth started a Instagram account with more than 10,000 followers. Yeah. Taking pictures all over Minnesota and doing a lot of road trips, one of my greatest passions myself. So that's how we got connected, and he will speak a little bit about Lakes Country road trips, hidden gems. And then I have with me Jeremy Walker. He is a flyboard passionate and is the most active part of this little podcast. He will speak about a little bit of technology and a little bit of the Back to the Future vision that we had since the 80s, I guess, flyboarding, and now we're doing it. So. Thank you again. So I will just begin, and this will just be a dialogue. Everybody will introduce themselves for a few moments and then speak about what they're doing. And I thought we start with Seth, speaking about how you came to take pictures, where you take the pictures, why, and how it is that you have so many followers. So thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So I grew up right here in Fargo-Moorhead, but I always spent my summers down in Frazee, where my mom was from. We had a lake place there, and I always liked the area, and that's where we live now. And probably over the last 10 or 12 years, I've just spent a lot of time traveling Minnesota, and I really got into just finding the offbeat kind of hidden gems, as he mentioned, attractions and just really cool things that a lot of people don't know about. And I came across a book about 10, 12 years ago that just talked about all the roadside attractions and statues, things like that in Minnesota. And I just was captivated from there. And I have spent, you know, countless hours researching and looking online and reading and just finding where things are in Minnesota that are really off the beaten path. And I kind of started with a Facebook, I guess a Facebook album of some pictures that I had taken over the years of just world's largest turkey, things like that. And it really grew to everything kind of quirky and random I could find. And then I started a website called highwayhighlights.com. I would encourage everybody to visit. I update it whenever I can. A lot of lists and top five this or top this. I have an interactive map on the website of places to go. And it's all really quirky, offbeat stuff that not a lot of people know about. And it's really just kind of taken on a life of its own. I have it, of course, linked to a Twitter and an Instagram page, and that's where Dirk and I kind of connected. Because with the Instagram account, I can just take pictures, tell what something is, and go on from there and always be updating and always be finding and exploring and everything. And it's just a great website for people that want to do something different and explore versus the same touristy things that most people already know about. If you really want to get off the path and find some really fun and interesting and cool stuff, I'm kind of the go-to, I would kind of say, for Minnesota. Check the website out, and I love to engage with people and interact with anybody that ever has any questions or any suggestions, stuff like that. But that's kind of the long and short of it.
Thank you. What I thought is, when I found you, what I thought was really interesting, you started this, a couple questions. You started how long ago? How many pictures did you take? Because I thought it's in the thousands. How many miles did you drive? No. But maybe how long ago did you start? How many pictures did you take? And then I think you write little articles about it too. So he really puts words to his road trips, which I think is awesome. And then maybe tell us one or two of your most favorite spots that you discovered.
Sure. So I kind of started the whole thing, I would say, in around 2006, right after I graduated college. I came across a book that just was called Minnesota Curiosities, I believe, or something like that. And I loved it, and I started going through it and kind of made a mental checklist to say, I'm going to try to check out every one of these places in this book. And, you know, kind of set off doing that. And just started taking a picture of everyone. It just became almost like a scavenger hunt or a collection. And I just, that was became my thing after that. And it just really grew from there. And I mean, thousands and thousands of pictures and miles logged. And I love to travel. I travel for my job. I travel any chance I get when we have a free weekend or a vacation. And I always like to look ahead of time if there's anything in the area that's worth seeing or, you know, just some areas I can check out. And I love researching and finding out more. And sometimes I knock on some doors or I have to, you know, try to hunt down people that know more about it or, you know, explain what I'm doing, taking a picture of some random house or building. But the website's also, it delves a little bit into old buildings, abandoned places, architecture, old vintage signs, which I really love. And anything we can really come up with, if there's something cool in a town that no one knows about, chances are I probably have heard of it and I've probably seen it and I've most likely written about it somewhere online.
What's your favorite spot that you found in the close proximity for people to find?
It's kind of random, but I really do like Fergus Falls. I know most people have probably been through it at some point, but that is a really fun little town to explore. It's got a great downtown with a river walk. There's some cool roadside attractions there. They got some statues and some old signs and a lot of neat buildings. And then there's the Kirkbride Regional Treatment Center, which I don't know if you guys know about. It's this massive castle-like building, and it's very close to being in danger of being demolished soon. And it's just an abandoned, I guess it was kind of like an insane asylum type of place. It's just incredibly beautiful. And I actually didn't even know about it until about 5 years ago when I met my wife, Carrie. She had been there. For whatever reason, I hadn't seen it. I had never heard of it. Not, she wasn't committed to it. She was a patient. No. But yeah, that's a really fun town to explore. And it's really easy to get to from here, from the lakes area. It makes a great day trip. Fergus has everything you need. Fergus Falls, you got a brewery there to have supper and have a drink and a cool downtown. And then there's an old broken down dam outside of town that's a really fun little trip too. Yeah, and that one just comes to mind because it's easy to get to. It's a great day trip, and it's close to here, but so many people drive right by Fergus Falls on the interstate and don't turn off and check out what's there. And that can be the case made for many towns, Alexandria and St. Cloud, wherever you go, Mankato, Duluth. So any of those towns, if you're ever heading there, check the website out because you could probably find something really cool to do there other than the obvious stuff.
And one thing I forgot yesterday, but I want to actually ask always my audience, describe one, two things that lake life, you live on a lake and we all like lake life. What is lake life to you?
I would certainly say lake life to me is the sunsets, sunrises, the nature aspect of it. You know, just waking up and being at the lake, and it's not just a vacation home. It's not a, you know, I get to go here for a week in the summer. We've made it a reality that we can be there constantly year round, and it's tough, and it's, you know, it's work. I mean, being at the lake all the time isn't just all vacation, but it's definitely a lifestyle, and it's definitely something that, you know, we've worked and achieved. And it's the nature aspect of it, just the lake and the nature and the wildlife and things like that.
Staying connected where we are. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you.
We will pass this over to Jess, speaking about, thank you, yoga on paddleboards.
All right. Okay, yes. Hi, I'm Jess, and I do teach yoga on the paddleboards, which I often get a funny look, like, you do what? I have taught yoga for more than a decade already, which is kind of crazy, and I first experienced paddleboarding about the same time I was finishing my yoga instructor training. My sister called me from the East Coast, and she was doing dragon boat racing at the time and ran into paddleboards. And she called, she said, you gotta try these things, they're so cool. So I looked it up, and there was a demonstration going on in downtown Minneapolis, and so I went and met the gal who was doing the demonstration, and I happened to be attending the demonstration with a gal who taught Pilates. So the two of us got hit it off, had a conversation, and pretty soon we're paddling in Lake of the Isles, and trying some yoga and trying some Pilates, and we talked for a while, and we just laid back on the boards and just relaxed and took in Lake of the Isles. So here you are in the middle of downtown Minneapolis on a lake and relaxing on the board, and it's like, this is cool. So I left that demonstration, and I told Luke I'm going to start a new business, and I told him what I was going to do. Luke is my husband, by the way. And he looked at me like I had horns on my head. He goes, you want to do what? And but I did, and he supported me. So the business is called Lake's Pace, and you had asked Seth about the Lake's Pace of, you know, what lake life is. And so my business with paddleboard and yoga is all about the pace of life and slowing down and really appreciating the things that Seth talked about. Sunrise and sunset are the best times to take a paddleboard out and be on the water because the water is clear and smooth and calm, and the wildlife is awake and amazing, and a lot of the boaters aren't awake yet and out on the lakes. And I mean, yes, you get the fishermen, and then sometimes you are nearby, and I'm not sure who's more entertaining, the fishermen or the yoga classes. I think we were entertainment for each other some mornings. But so my business is called Lakes Pace just because of that. We moved up to the lakes area 13 years ago, and always dreamed about being on a lake ourselves, and the area grows on you. There's so much to offer. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place to recreate and have fun. It's a great place to live. So we enjoy it a lot. We're out in Frazee. I do a lot of my classes in Detroit Lakes and in the lakes area, so travel with my business. My boards, I take 12 with me, so I have a lot of people ask me about how many can I accommodate. I travel with 12 boards on my trailer, and I have a few more at home, so I can do larger groups at my own place, and that's nice because I live on a lake with only 12 other folk, and my neighbors are pretty relaxed and calm. So one board for each person. Yeah. Oh, one board for each neighbor. Well, I'm still working on that. So my website is Sup North Minnesota, and Dirk, you had kind of asked me earlier. So Luke gives me a hard time because Sup is stand up paddleboarding. And so when I named my business, I wanted to do a play on words, Sup North MN, for Sup North Minnesota, as in come up North Minnesota, and sup. And Luke was like, you can't use sup, that's a slang word, like you're saying sup. It's So, and he goes, you're not that cool. And so Sup North Minnesota is my webpage and my email. Lakes Pace is the name of my business because I could talk him into that. And it made sense for us. So
speaking, I mean, to you, it's business as usual. To me, when I met Jess the first time, you accommodated a group of my neighbors on Lake Severn, which had a family event, and you were with like 12 or more, I didn't count, ladies on the bay there, and I took my son canoeing. I was slightly distracted by the yoga class, so we went fishing, and I saw you for the first time, and then I researched. I met you again. I researched your business, and I would not be able to do it. I think is it very difficult? Tell us a little bit about the board. How easy is it, or how difficult? How much skill do I need to bring? Do I need to be scared of you going to the class or not?
I'm very scary.
It's not you, but it's...
Yeah, no. I'm not very... I don't bite, no. And the fish don't either in northern Minnesota. We've got tame fish up here. No. So you're right. And Dirk, there we are. We provided you a little distraction, and you were probably a little distraction for us, too. That particular group was a group in the double digits. You're right. It was over 10, less than 20, somewhere in that range. And it was a group of all ages. So we had children in that group that I think the youngest out that day were right around the 7, 8, 9, 10 age range. In fact, we had one board with two children on because they didn't want to go by themselves, so they had two kids on the board. And the fun thing is children are so resilient and not afraid of anything. So here are these two kids. They did all of the yoga poses with two people on a board. And just, you know, they amaze me all the time when I have children out. They may have tipped. You know, yes, sure, for sure. We do have some, you know, falling in is always a possibility. So that's, you know, absolutely the truth. But I will say that in many classes, there's no one that falls in. So, you know, and in some classes, most of us fall in. So, they, you know, that goes, you come expecting that you might get wet and then, you know, think positively that you won't. You'll stay on the board and be balanced. So the trick to paddleboard yoga and paddleboarding in general, and probably canoeing and kayaking also, is being relaxed on the board. The more relaxed you are, you know, the more centered you are, and the more, you know, I'm going to use the word grounded, but you're not grounded, you're floating. But the more calm you can be, the easier the sport is going to come, and that's for any water sport. And I think the gentleman up here would agree with me on that one. I have had boarders as young as 8 and probably young. Well, I guess my son was 6 months old when I put him on a board. And the business is, this will be my 8th season out. So my business has been around as long as he has and a little longer. The oldest boarder that I have aware of the age of this boarder was 88. So I've told people, hey, I've had people from 8 to 88. I've had people really less than 1 up to 88. And so it is a sport that can be for all ages. And the difficulty, you know, if you can be relaxed and calm, the sport comes easier. And as far as prerequisites, there's none. I've had groups out where no one has boarded before. I've had groups out where no one has boarded or done yoga, and they leave paddleboarding and accomplishing some yoga poses on the board or asanas. Two firsts with one day. Yes, two birds with one stone. That's right. That's correct. That's correct. So no, there's no prerequisites, and I have a lot of people that come out nervous, and it is something new and different for a lot of folk. And many times they will leave, you know, with a newfound confidence, and hey, I tried something new and it wasn't so bad. It wasn't so scary. So Dirk, I'm waiting for you to come over and give this a try yet. This is, you know, on your bucket list for this year,
yeah,
I think.
I think I've threatened you multiple times.
Well, that's right. Well, it turns out I'm right around the corner. So
yes,
really, we're kind of neighbors. You
I will
make
come,
your way
sure.
over.
Yeah, I just spoke to someone on here on the floor that we would have a family event to schedule and have some fun with you. Come over. That's good. No, I will do it. So I think you answered already, but your favorite thing about lake life and living there is to connect with nature? Or like, is there another thing that lake life means to you?
Yeah, so lake life to me is being able to step away from the busyness of life that we put ourselves into so often and just exhale. You know, to me, being by the lake and being by any water body, really, I mean, there's something really special about being by the water and just really soothing and calming. you know, being out on the paddle boards, I don't have to be in a yoga class to have that experience of calm. You know, you can be on a boat and you can be out with friends. You can be doing a lot of things on the water. And there's something about just being out in, out in the nature. And the particular thing that I love about being on the lake that I am and teaching yoga on the boards is the Shavasana, the final relaxation posture. So we get done with the asanas, we get done with the flow, and we just lie back on the boards and we spend some time just breathing. A lot of times we'll close our eyes. And in the morning, when the birds are chirping and the breeze is blowing and the leaves are flowing and the lake is lapping at the board, I mean, there's just nowhere else on earth I'd rather be. So, yeah, lake life is definitely a special place to be. And, you know, some place that we like to bring our friends and a family, and we get to enjoy it a lot more. We also, as residents, though, like Seth mentioned, we need to sometimes remember that we are so lucky, pinch ourselves, and then give ourselves permission to relax a little bit, because it is our home and there are still duties that we need to take care of. And sometimes we forget to relax until we share it with guests and people. And I think that's one of the special things about what I do is, you know, I purposely am doing this as a business, and I get to experience that relaxation and that that fun on the, you know, doing that experience on the water, you know, multiple times a week on multiple lakes in the lakes area. It's a really special thing.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I will try it.
There we go. You are all witnesses. Dirk's going to be on a paddleboard this summer.
Pictures next year.
There we go. Thank you.
And now we're going to speed this a little bit up. No offense. I meant with more energy, we will hear from Jeremy how hydroflighting works, and I tried that one already. He made me try it, and I was a little scared when he got me up very high. And I said, because it can be really high, and I'm actually scared of heights. So, Jeremy, tell us about you and how you came to hydroflights and how that works.
Okay, hi, I'm Jeremy Walker. I'm your local area flyboarder. I got into this back right when it first came to the United States. What happened was is that a gentleman named Frankie Zapata created an apparatus to hook up to like a fire hose and turn a jet ski into a water pump. So jet skis are basically just a water pump that shoots water out the back end of it to drive the propulsion of the ski across the water. That's why you don't have props underneath and people beach them. Well, this guy put a U-pipe on the back of it to hook up to a 4.5-inch fire hose. And in 2013, when it showed up in the United States, I was in commercial flight training. So I love to fly airplanes. Obviously, I like to be in the air. I do a lot of extreme sports since I was 5 years old. So that's my life is really dangerous. I'm still here, though. I can hit a jump, but I can never land them. So I've been a lot of time in the hospital. So I saw flyboarding and I said, well, I could land in water and wipe out and I'd probably be okay. So I got on the board in 2013 right away, tried it out. I thought this was the coolest feeling sensation of my life because I could defy gravity. I could do things in the air and above water, and I know it sounds crazy, I'm a pilot, and I'm afraid of heights. Sounds weird, but I am. I'm extremely afraid of heights, especially when I take off on a runway. I mean, I hate those first 75 feet off the runway. That literally is my worst fear, is engine failure at that moment. There's no go-around time, you're bringing it down straight off the runway. I mean, that's my moment. I can land an airplane all day long. So I got on this board, loved it. The guy said, you should try this out, maybe start a business. Well, not a lot of water in Montana. So I moved back to Minnesota for my family. And my kids live here in West Fargo. And so that's kind of what brought me back to Minnesota and to be a dad. Well, there's a lot of water up here. And I didn't have any mountains to go down anymore. So I called him up. I said, okay, I'll start a flyboard business here so I can get some air. And that's kind of the story of me getting into it. I noticed that when I first started my business down in Mankato area by Madison Lake, everybody was just in awe. My first time flyboarding on a lake in Minnesota, a couple fishermen, an older couple, were fishing off to the side, and Well, I hit the trigger, and I'm, you know, 40 feet in the air, and they were facing the other way, so they turned around, and the lady was tapping her husband's back like, oh my God, what is that? She's freaking out. Like, and they were about to tip the boat over. They were so in awe of this guy flying in the air with the water. So I had so many people asking me, like, I want to try that. I want to try that. And so I started a business, and it was slow going because nobody had ever heard of it, or they just saw it on the TV with other people that I'm affiliated with around the world that I just kind of built into the sport, went to the World Cup, gained transition, got real good at it, and then two years ago when I first got up here, we did 73 to 76 people that first year in business up here, and last year we did over 890 people. So everybody wants to try this. It's super easy. It's super safe. It's safer than pulling your kids behind your boat on a tube. It's safer than skiing, wakeboarding. It's just as fun. It's even more fun. And it's the low impact on your body because you're really just going to lay down in the water. We're not going to flap you around and shoot you way up in the air that you can't control yourself. Your body naturally wants to balance. So that's where this sport kind of came in. I saw the gratification in people's eyes. They got to accomplish this themselves. They went from not having a clue about what was going on. They said it's extreme. I mean, you guys probably have seen the pictures and videos. It looks extreme. It looks dangerous. There's no way I could do that. I don't have the balance. I, you know, barely ride a bicycle. It's actually super easy. I've had guys from 9 years old to 91.
You had a very old gentleman too. I remember that. But let's I think there's three different devices. There's the one that hooks to your back. That kind of is like this out of a James Bond movie where there's fire.
Jetpack.
Yeah, the water jetpack. And then we have a fly board. Which should I use?
Yeah, the flyboard is off of your feet.
Yeah. There's a third one. What's the third one?
And the third one is the hoverboard.
The hoverboard, yeah, okay. Let's talk about the flyboard. And you're in it so much, and we are not, I guess. But I know it's we have the engine, we have the water flow, so the physics is pressure. And when I flew, you measured or like did the throttle thing.
Yes.
So I think in the advanced situation, you actually can steer, what is it?
Remote
it yourself. Like you fly by yourself, meaning you have your engine in the water and you kind of have it follow you, right? It's kind of like a European vacuum machine, yeah? You have the little thing and then the, can you follow me? And then here in America we have that one and two and one. Anyways, it's kind of like the jet ski follows you around.
Yeah.
And then, And tell us a little bit more about the physics. Not too deep, but like how does that work again?
Okay, so
and then your balance.
The jet ski is it turns from a jet ski into just a mobile water pump. So now that hose is just going to run a lot of CFM, which is cubic feet per minute, a lot of water is going to start coming out of the apparatus or device that we connect to the other end of the hose. So we have options. And there is another, there's a lot of actual hydroflight devices out there now. So flyboarding is the most easiest thing. So it comes off of both sides, and you'll see the devices over at our booth. We have water that comes out both sides of your feet, and it has a pivot point. So you have the ability to go left, right, and it's just basically positioning the direction of the water flow is where you're going to have your stability and where you're going to fly. So it's a real, it's not a lot of.
How do you get up? Like you lay down or?
Well, you're gonna basically be thinking that it's the ball and chain effect. So the jet ski is now your large weight, your ball, and your chain is the hose, which is providing you the power to, in turn, pull the jet ski around. And that's why you'll see a lot of the instruction. It's always in a big circle because we're always trying to make a big turn. We're always trying to stay away from the jet ski. And you're pulling that jet ski through the water a little bit because you're getting that hose and that the slack from the hose is your distance in the air as well. So if you think about a string in water and you just go like that, the string is going to follow a path of least resistance. So the apparatus that you have on your feet, you're just basically flying around and pulling it around. The hoverboard is a little different. It's like a snowboard, and it shoots the water out the back. But instead of a snowboard going downhill to gain speed, on the hoverboard, you actually, if you pick the nose up, it wants to rocket you straight up into the air. So you really have to know how to control what hydroflight sports is, because it's a total opposite of being on a mountain. It's now it wants to direct you straight up. So it's there's a little bit of a learning curve with the hoverboard. The jetpack is the same concept as the flyboard. Now you have jets on both sides of your shoulders, and you steer it with your arms. And that's going to change the direction of the flow of the water, which is also kind of, if you see those jetpacks that you see on NASA, old NASA videos and stuff, it's the same idea. And they're just moving their arms, which is in turn changing the direction of the jets to make you turn and so on. So we see a lot of guys like our age, you know, a lot of those guys want to do the jetpack because they have knee injuries or lower body, lower back problems. So they feel like, well, that flyboard is going to be really hard on my body. But what it is all low impact, but that jetpack, guys love to use their arms. For a guy like me who's a boarder and has been on a board most of my life since I was five, I like control with my legs. So when I get on a jetpack, you're going to see my legs just flaring all over, and there's no control on my legs. I'm a goofball-looking guy. And some of these other guys we did just outside in Detroit Lakes last year, or 2 years ago, we had a guy, first time on a jetpack, his legs were solid, he's on the jetpack, and he was flying better than me on the jetpack. But he was, you know, retired veteran, he had been in helicopter training, you know, so he wanted that control with his arms, and he had it. But the minute you put him on a flyboard, he was like, I don't like my feet getting strapped into this. I mean, a lot of times you get strapped in, the first anxiety is that you got your feet strapped into something. It's heavy. You can't swim. You jump in the water and you're like, I'm not used to having, it's like you're, what do you call that guy who escapes out of the Niagara Falls? He ties himself up. You feel like that. You can't swim. You're just like, oh my God, oh my God. I get that all the time. Everybody's just like, am I going to sink? And it's everything floats. It's super easy. It is weird. But the minute you get power to your feet and you go, oh, wow. Now you can actually swim like you're saying. You start out, you know, like you would start out on a paddleboard, kind of laying down and kind of getting yourself out there a little bit, or a surfboard. Well, that's what you're going to do. You're going to lay on your chest. You're just going to kind of roll right on out there and pull the jet ski because I'm giving you power. And you're kind of swimming like a mermaid. And that's one of the biggest things my daughter likes to do is hang on to me, and then we just stay in the water. And I mean, you can swim around, you can dive under, and it's so cool because you're like, oh wow, I don't even have to swim. I can go all over the lake, and it's kind of cool. But the minute you pivot your feet a little bit and let it come up underneath you, you stand up with super ease. So. And we can go as extreme as you want. Some people start flying at, like Dirk, common example. He went from very nervous. You were very nervous and didn't want.
No.
Hey, you kept telling me, don't shoot me very high.
So, I did not.
But right away, you know, within a few minutes, he was already at 10, 15 feet, and you could see he was enjoying every second of it. And it went from nervousness to, wow, it is super easy. So,
it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it. I really did. And I want to do it again after the yoga. So, what is your most beautiful or most important thing about lake life?
Lake life is, to me, born and raised in Minnesota. So, I grew up right on a lake. And lake life to me is living life, kind of like what these guys are saying, you're living life in unison with nature. I think that's one of my biggest, happiest things about my life is recognizing I'm a big animal lover, even though I hunt. I still love animals. I love nature. I love everything to do with fishing and just anything that has to do with nature itself. I mean, that's what makes me happy in life, and seeing other people enjoying, like you say, you know, just to see a group of people doing the yoga and to see that community together, enjoying that or soaking that in. Those are the things that are important in my lake life description, is being able to share it and see other people appreciate the same things that I appreciate.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming out today. And I know if you have questions, those three are accessible and available for you. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day here at the Expo. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.